Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Even many of those who do not attend church have heard of this particular parable. The sower cast seeds where they will fall. Some fall on the path where the birds snatch it up. The interpretation, according to what Jesus says, is that the evil one snatches the seeds away. Some of the seeds fall on rocks with no depth or any root, and the seeds, they spring up quickly, but the sun scorches or kills them. Interpretation is that the seed is scorched by the troubles or the difficulty or the persecutions of life. Some seeds fall among thorns, which chokes out the life of the seed. Interpretation is that the seed is choked out by the cares of the world and by the lure of the world. But what, if anything, is this story asking us to do when we hear it? Do you hear the story asking, does the parable really present any lesson for us at the end? We don't appear to be challenged with any moral command to do any particular thing. It does not even have a surprise twist at the end. Or is it merely intended to be descriptive? Some people call the story the parable of the sower of the seeds. Others call it the parable of the generous sower. I like the second description better, even though we think it's wasteful and we think it's careless and we think it's inefficient or unproductive and not the best farming practices. According to the scripture, God, this generous sower, just kind of is inclusive and scatters the seeds everywhere. Scatters love and life and generosity and grace everywhere. On the good and the bad. Because God is this generous sower, according to the text. And that's really a good lesson for us to learn as we walk through life on our faith journey, that God's love and God's grace is scattered everywhere to everyone, not a particular race, not a particular gender, not a particular sexual orientation, not a particular nation. I think I mentioned to you several weeks ago that many years ago, I was preaching at a church and I said in my message, it's time for America to bless God. And after the message, someone came up to me and said, oh, no, you got that all wrong. God needs to bless America. We are a Christian nation. And it was almost as if this person was saying, we are to be the only recipients of God's blessings. But the parable talks about God's blessings and God's generosity being spread anywhere. Today, I really want us to examine this parable in another way. Because maybe a real power in this story is showing us how to pay attention to the soil. And one question the parable left me asking is this: what kind of soil am I tending? And is it possible for the soil of this parable to be our soul? Is the soil our soul? I believe we need tending both of ourselves and each other. We need nurturing our soul. Our soil needs nurturing and sustenance. And we need a healthy community. Our soul and our soil, we need a variety and diversity. Our soil and our soul need to be turned over occasionally in a new direction, to be open to the rain and the sun, to be welcome to the chance to mature and for seeds to grow, our soil and our soul. Tending to the soil or tending to the soul is a figure of speech. It's a figure of speech. It's interesting that there is only one letter that separates those two words. soil and souls. So this story could easily be called the parable of the good soul. The parable of the good soul. And so let's examine the four types of souls that are presented in this parable. The first seed falls on the path. Now, path is really essential in life. We all need a path, but the path is different from the place where the seed grows. The path in the story represents all of the many, even some of the hard surfaces of life's journey. The path. The path is like an asphalt road, hard, uncrackable, with non-sporous surface. A path. It's like the freeway system that, you know, they in erected through poor communities. It's like the freeway system that runs through downtown Los Angeles. The path. It's like the trails. Any of you ever walked on a trail, the Baldwin Hills trails, or the Runyon trails in Hollywood, or the Griffith Park trail? The path. You have paths there. It's beneficial, and it offers some traction. A path does. It offers traction for walking. But nothing grows on the path, because you're constantly stomping on it. Nothing grows on a path. If seeds fall on the path, they can be trampled, and birds of the air will snatch the seeds up for food before they can even sprout. Maybe you have met, or maybe at some point in your life, you were the kind of person that possibly had a hard surface that nothing could crack. We've all had days, and maybe even years, when life doesn't seem to go our way. Long sessions of life where it felt like nothing was working and everything was out of whack. We've all had even a little bit of those kinds of experiences. Frustrating days when life seems like nothing that you do is getting what you want to accomplish. Maybe a conflict at work. It may be the loss of health or the loss of mobility. It may be the grief of a relationship that ended in death or divorce. It may be we all face those kinds of circumstances that are gut-wrenching, those kind of circumstances that are confusing, that are tough, like the path, that can make our path hard. We all face those kinds of situations. And sometimes, because of life's ebbs and flows, our souls can become non-sporous, a place that neither takes in water or lets out water in the form of tears. Seeds that fall on this hard surface, path of the soul, according to the text, they don't grow. But there's a second batch of seeds that this parable talks about. And in the second batch, they fall on rocky ground. Now, here the point seems to be that there is some ground here. There is a little bit of dirt, and the seed falls on the dirt, and it sprouts up quickly. Walk down any sidewalk. You might have experienced it just walking in the parking lot here, or walking the path here coming. You might have seen some weeds or something sprouting up between the cracks on the ground. Walk down any sidewalk in any city in your neighborhood or even in your backyard, and you'll see examples of this. The seed gets all of its nourishment, but just as quickly as the sun scorches it. The seed, because it has no roots, it's not allowed to grow, it's not allowed to go deep. And Jesus' interpretation is that trouble and persecution, difficulties in life, and all of us face difficulties at some point, they frustrate, they stand in the way of, they prevent the growth of the soul. That's what the parable seems to suggest. The interesting note here is that according to the parable, the sun scorches this shallow seed. Again, like the path, the sun is in and of itself a good thing because the seed needs the sun. But because the seed has no roots, the sun scorches the seed. The seed needs the light, but the seed has no roots. And the seed needs the warmth, but the seed has no roots. The sun is intended to provide nourishment, but the seed has no roots. And this scorching sun is described as the troubles or the persecutions of life. It seems then that the troubles and the persecutions of life kind of exaggerate. The troubles and the persecution of life exaggerate the very thing that we need, the sun. The persecutions of life exaggerate the good thing that we need. So our troubles and persecutions, the ordinary trials of life and the ordeals will zap that seed, that soul, before it gets some roots down here. Persecutions of life can also be a way, just like the sun. You see, the seed needs the sun, but do we need the persecutions of life in order to grow? The seed needs the sun for nourishment to grow. Question is, do we need the persecutions of life to grow? Without depth of soil or refreshing of water, the persecutions of life, just like the sun, will destroy the seed. Consider this. The sun is lovely. The sun is warm to our face in the summer. But even people of color with melanin can have their face and their skin burned because of the sun, because of overexposure to the sun. I was playing in a tennis tournament in New Mexico, and it was really hot, so I had my shirt off, I had my ball head, and I'm out there playing in this tournament 4 hours. When I got back to my hotel, I had never experienced that in my life. My head was peeling. My shoulders were peeling from overexposure to the sun. So the parable suggests that the trials are how we are tempered. Just as the sun scorched that seed because it didn't have any roots, that same sun would have provided nourishment for that seed if it had some roots. But the same trials and difficulties and persecution that can rip our souls apart can also provide what we need to grow. The fire is meant to both burn and cleanse. And a growing seed needs those trials, but will also need the depth of soil in order to survive. Our souls also need depth, not just the quick burst of sunshine. The third batch of seeds among the thorns, the third batch of seeds rather, fall among thorns. We all know thorns, but the first thing to say about thorns is that they can be beautiful plants. Have you ever seen thorns? Beautiful plants, like paths of the sun, thorns can be a good thing. They can even be nutritional plants. Consider the beauty of a rose and even the thistle that grows in the wild. Have you ever been walking out in the wild and you see this beautiful plant with all of this gorgeous flowers, but surrounding that flower, thorns? One definition of a weed is that a thorn is just a piece of God's creation not in the right place. A thorn is a piece of God's creation. The place for a thorn is in your view and not in your flesh. We don't mind seeing thorns, but we don't want to feel thorns. A thorn is out of place when it's stuck inside of you and me, in our hand, in our feet, or in any part of our body. So the third seed fell among thorny soil. How does Jesus interpret these thorns? He says that they're the cares of life and the lure of wealth. Again, the world asserts that wealth actually can be excellent. It's critical. It's necessary for our survival. Wealth. But the cares of the world, the daily list that makes us live, what do we do? The daily list that makes us live and the desire for wealth are the things that squeeze the soul sometimes. What do we need at the grocery store? The list of things. What do we need at the hardware store? How will we get our child or our parent back and forth? What bills will we pay? What bills did we forget to pay? What bills can't we pay? These are some of the necessary decisions that need to be faced daily in our life. They are the cares of life, the burdens that we carry, the relationships that are starting or the relationships that are ending, the new births that bring new life into the world and the people that we're saying goodbye to. The cares of life can squeeze the soul. The wealth of the world is also essential. Most of us need money. I think so. We need wealth of some kind to live. But the danger, according to the parable, of these beautiful and necessary thorns is that they can choke the seed of life and grace out of us. Is that God's seed will not bear fruit because we are too busy, too preoccupied, spending our time, in the words of the song by Jungle, too busy earning. Too busy earning. Can't get enough. Can't get enough. And the challenge for you, me, and everyone we know who say that we are people of faith, the challenge of good soil, the challenge of good soul is not to let the cares of the world become too much to choke our soul. And so finally we come to the good soil. The good soil. Some seeds fall on good soil. And because they fall on good soil, they bear fruit and grow up 100 times as much. Good soil. Good soil is fertile soil. Good soil is life-giving soil. But what makes a soil good? What makes a soil fertile? What makes a soil life-giving? What makes it fertile is that, believe it or not, good soil is full of dead things. I see some smirking, some nodding their heads. Good soil is full of dead things. At least we think they're dead. Think of compost. Compost is what we throw out. It's what we throw out as garbage. It's old, dead leaves. It's the waste of animals. But when those dead leaves decay, what happens to them? Those things that we thought were dead still contain a new kind of life. They become good earth, good and fertile soil. And I maintain this is also what good souls do. Not just good soil, but good souls. Good souls know how to turn dead and decaying things into life. Good souls are not afraid of death because they know from death can come new life. Good souls can accept death that is around us daily. Good souls take loss into themselves and then nurture new life out of that loss. Good souls embodies qualities like kindness and compassion and honesty and empathy and generosity. Integrity and respectfulness. Good souls contribute positively to the well-being of others and the well-being of themselves. We've often called this parable the parable of the generous sower. The sower is expansive with their scattering of the seeds everywhere. Almost wasteful, it seems. The seed is the light and life, and it's what gives us joy. But this parable can also be about the soil. The soil, the soul. The soil must always offer something to the seed. The soil must always offer something to the seed. The seed of grace, the seed of love. And God's seeds does not act on its own. God's seeds must be gifted to good soil. What kind of soil are you? What kind of soil am I? Our souls must provide a good place for God's grace. For God's love, for God's compassion. So how do you develop good soil? How do you develop good soul? By practicing the art of turning loss into gain. Turning death into life. This is what good soil does. It turns dead and decaying matter into places of new growth, of new life. And it can even transform the paths, the rocks, the thorns into elements of new life, good soil and good soul. Then the soil burns fruit 60-fold, 100-fold. 30 times more than what was expected. It may not be the actual death that souls face each day, but we do face failure. We do face disappointments. We do face heartaches and anxiety and loss. All of us, the daily art of resurrecting something out of something that was dead is what this parable invites you and me to be about. What's the song, Mylene? Lord, let my heart be good soil. That's my prayer every day, not just for me, but for each of us. That in those situations that we walk in or live in that appear to be dead, unproductive, that we could interject something good that brings about life. Maybe it's a situation in your home. Maybe it's a situation in your job. Maybe it's a situation in your community. It definitely is a situation in this country. We need some good soil. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to be recipients of the generosity of this amazing sower that plants seeds everywhere, generously, inclusively, and offers love and grace and compassion to each of us. Lord, let our hearts be good soil. Amen.